My guest at this time is Jessica Vaughn. She is the Director of Policy Studies at the Center for Immigration Studies. She joins me now to talk about the issue that has dominated the news here in the United States for the past few days, and that is President Trump's executive order regarding travel from seven nations that have a major Islamic radical terrorism problem. And of course, it's leading to massive protests around the country. And just in the last 24 hours at the time of this recording, the acting attorney general said she would not defend the Trump executive order. She was promptly fired and replaced by somebody who will. So, Jessica, thanks very much for being with us here.
My pleasure.
For those who defend the order, maybe not necessarily the implementation, a lot of folks think that was rocky, but as far as the order itself, what do you think is the most misunderstood part here?
I think the most misunderstood part is that people are being permanently prevented from coming to the United States who had been approved before. This is not a permanent ban. It's a temporary suspension. You can call it a ban if you want, but it's a temporary ban. No one has been told that their benefit that they were approved from has been taken away. All of the people who were en route have been allowed to come into the United States, although they did find one person with a green card from one of those countries who was trying to come back, had a criminal conviction, and they've put him into deportation proceedings. The point was always to give our government the opportunity to take another look at these people who have been granted green cards, visas, refugee status. We know that the vetting process under the Obama administration was not adequate. And so this is giving the government time to come up with a better way of doing it and also take another look at some of the people who got benefits under the old inadequate screening system.
And so, Jessica, what would be a better way to screen these people? Because obviously, as you mentioned, there were a lot of people who didn't think the Obama administration was doing a sufficient job. And especially when a lot of these folks don't have much of a paper trail when they're coming from governments that either aren't up to speed on a lot of this stuff or they're in a war-torn area and some of these records might not even exist. How do we go about effectively screening these people?
Well, for one thing, we can start by interviewing them. Under the Obama administration, in some cases, interviews did not take place. They were waived. In other cases, officers were not allowed to look very deeply into the applications that they got. Their claims that they made on their applications were not always verified. Officers were told, you know, pretty much to assume that they were qualified and not ask too many questions. Not a lot of fraud prevention work taking place. But in some of these countries, we don't have enough of a relationship with the government to be able to be sure that people's identities are who they say they are or that their story checks out. I know when I was a visa officer overseas reviewing applications, in the countries I worked in, I was able to call up government officials from that host country and ask them, hey, is this birth certificate good? Do your records match up with what this person is telling me about their marriage certificate, the police report, and so on? So that's invaluable. There's no substitute for that. In some of these countries, we just don't have that relationship, and we need to look for some other tools. And we might have to, in some of these cases, say this suspension is going to last a little bit longer, at least for certain types of applications. And the other thing I have to emphasize is that there is language in this executive order that says anybody with particularly emergency situation, compelling circumstances, in imminent danger, or in other categories can ask for a waiver. And from what I heard in statements today, they've already granted more than 1,000 waivers for people.
Jessica, when you hear the opposition to this, you have it from the legal side. Some folks say that this could potentially be in violation of a 1965 law that forbids restricting immigration based solely on nation of origin. And then you have the more emotional side where Chuck Schumer says this is mean-spirited and it's un-American and that sort of thing. What do you make of the rebuttal and the criticism you're seeing here, both from the clinical side as well as the political side?
Well, certainly there are going to be court challenges that the administration is going to have to deal with, and that's to be expected because all of these groups vowed to fight anything pretty much that the Trump administration said it would do on immigration. And so, I guess the courts are going to decide. I don't think that these appear to me as a non-lawyer, non-constitutional scholar, appear to violate the law. I do know the law, and it seems to me clearly within the president's authority. And again, part of it is because it's not a permanent ban. It's a suspension, and it's not even that long of a suspension, in my view. I have to say, I have sympathy for the people whose travel was interrupted. That's difficult. That's inevitable any time you put in place a new policy like this. But it also is important to recognize that our security has been put at risk every single day that we have not had adequate vetting in place. So it was important to put a stop to that as soon as possible.
One of the things we're hearing from the protesters is essentially the idea that anyone who wants to come here should be able to. What is the history of immigration in a nutshell about that attitude?
Well, of course, the United States has the most generous immigration policy in the entire world, but we are well within our sovereignty to limit immigration. Many of us believe that it should be limited in order to preserve the welfare and well-being of Americans and for our legal immigration system to work better. Even cutting back the number of refugee admissions is still going to enable us to help tens of thousands of people, 50,000 a year is what they're talking about. We also can take those same resources that are used for resettling refugees nowadays and put them to work for refugees in their region, and we can help a lot more people by doing that. I think all of us want to help people who are displaced from their homes and their countries, but we can do a better job than what we have been doing. The resettlement program is dominated by government contractors who make a lot of money off this process. I think the whole refugee program needs to be reevaluated, you know, from start to finish, and we can do a better job that's better for the refugees and can help more people without straining our tax dollars and without putting our country at risk.
Last question, Jessica. Trump's already obviously been quite active on the immigration front, authorizing construction of the border wall, talking about the removal of government funds from sanctuary cities that don't cooperate with the feds when it comes to illegal immigrants, and now, of course, this executive order. What do you make of what we've seen so far, and what would you like to see next?
Well, it's a lot. People have compared it to, you know, trying to drink from a fire hose, and there's no doubt. I've been pretty busy trying to keep up with it all. But, you know, there was a lot of enforcement that was undone by the Obama administration. We've seen illegal immigration rise to levels that we have not seen in many years, and there's a lot that needed to happen. So it's been presented as an integrated plan, not just, you know, throw away lines like, you know, let's have more border security. They're talking about a wall, but changing the policies also and enforcing the law in the interior. And that's a comprehensive approach that's likely to work.
Jessica, we'll be following, and I'm sure given the first week and a half of this administration that we have plenty to talk about in the days and weeks ahead. Thank you very much for helping us understand it all better.
No doubt. It's my pleasure.
Jessica Vaughn is Director of Policy Studies at the Center for Immigration Studies. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.